What is up, Dolphin fans? Got another Dolphin Collective with the usual suspects. Omar might pop in. He's currently busy, so we'll see if he'll be able to pop in. But before we jump into all the good stuff, I do have to tell you guys that this is introduced by BetUS. Go check them out. Use the promo code YouTube150. You get 150% on your first deposit, 125 on the next two, up to $2,000. You also can check us out on the Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts, as well as you can become a member. You just gotta hit the join button next to the subscribe button. You get custom emojis, which are already in the chat with our faces, our beautiful faces on it. Monthly membership messages, name and outro credits, and access to member only live chats. Go check it out. And we got this little thing from BetUS that I thought was interesting, so I thought we would start with this. Which division is the best? Now, I don't think it's the Dolphins. I don't think it's the East. I think there's too many question marks. If I had to look at this,
the best division
might be the West.
NFC?
Yeah, AFC. There he is. Hey, Omar.
AFC North. Well, Omar's joining us. AFC North is a bear. And by the way, I apologize for Omar and I right off the bat. If you hear background noise, it's nasty thundering in South Florida right now.
Omar, you cancel your flight?
Nah, I'm it's landing. I'm it's landing.
I thought you were flying.
I thought you were being flued out?
Okay. I thought you was flying to Canada, but never mind.
Time. There you go. You get timed out. No, we're not doing that.
No, that's what he told me. I don't know.
But yeah, like what? Off the top of your head, you're looking at this. What division do you think is the best? I don't think it's the East because there's too many question marks. The West, I think it's. I don't really Cowboys. No, I think it's Washington and Philly.
You gotta be specific. AFC, NFC.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm not
all together.
Well, you got three divisions that have three really, really good teams. That's the AFC North, the AFC West, and the NFC North. And if depends on which one of those.
See, but I don't know about the Steelers. They don't really have a
quarterback. I see five divisions with
three good teams. You don't think the East is the NFC East is strong?
Yeah.
Giants.
I don't know about the Cowboys.
Alan, I see five divisions with three
strong teams. We'd have to pick a division where there is no weak link. And I don't see a division where there is no weak link,
or at least one weak link.
That's what I'm saying. One, it's got to be one. It's got to be minus one weak link. The NFC North has the Bears.
Really? Yeah,
but on paper they're good.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, on paper, yeah, I'll give you that.
The AFC North has the Browns.
Uh huh.
The AFC West has the Raiders.
Correct.
I mean,
the NFC East has the Giants.
Let's flip it and say how many of these teams have title contenders. I would argue to you.
That's a good question.
That the AFC North probably has more title contenders.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the AFC North and the NFC North would probably be in terms of title contenders. I'm not believing in the NFC East.
I'm going to take NFC North out of that now because we don't know how the quarterback situation is going to work out for Minnesota.
That is true.
See, look, TD, I told people you make valid points on this show. It ain't trolling all the time.
Man, and I troll on Twitter, man. Why can't y'all just understand that?
at least we step one is admitting that you do troll.
Okay. I never denied that on Twitter.
I have to go with the North. I think the AFC North is the one I'm going to go with.
Which North?
AFC North.
Mm. AFC North. Legitimate title contenders. Baltimore. Baltimore. That's it.
I gotta go with the East.
Which East?
AFC East.
He is trolling again. There he goes. He starts with
I'm not trolling, Allen. Any division with Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa, you can't help
yourself, can you, dude?
What?
Listen.
No. I'm going to be honest, though. Let's be honest. The Jets, I truly do believe they had a coaching issue, okay? Okay. I do think they had a coaching issue. I think they're going to be much better than people. I hate to admit this, but I think they'll be better than people realize with the first year coach, new culture. Everybody got to adjust to them, just like us in our first year with McDaniel. I think in Justin Fields, if they can transform that arm, you never know what you're going to get. The Dolphins, again, if we're healthy, according to most of you all, then, hey, why aren't we? And Buffalo is what they are. But let me tell you something. The Patriots are the low-key team with Mike Vrabel. Everybody, all right. Y'all, I think people are going to find out the hard way this year with Mike Vrabel.
Here's another interesting way to look at it. Which division has the best number two?
Buffalo.
Because I would say the AFC North.
NFC East.
Ooh. Yeah.
That was a one-year thing, though.
Well, that's correct. Can they do it again? But outside of that,
I'd say the NFC North probably has the best number two.
I say AFC North. Are we serious? AFC North, hands down.
AFC you don't North. Know what
but you're saying Mike Tomlin Steelers?
No,
or you're saying the Bengals.
That's right. That's ignore what happened last year with the Bengals. Come on now. Let's ignore that mess, man. We know that this team is capable of reaching the Super Bowl with less than. They were putting up 35 a game. I can't imagine that defense being the exact same. I mean, they could have been ranked 25th in defense and made the playoffs. They were just that bad.
Did they address the defense this offseason?
They made a few moves, but if they don't figure out this.
Have his money.
And their first round pick hasn't signed his contract at the defensive end.
Those are slotted.
Shamar Stewart.
Those are slotted. I think TD has another valid point from this.
And I'm winning,
man. What is this? Praise TD hour? What's
it? Man, hey, I'm just saying.
Don't worry. He'll pay for it tomorrow on Twitter. Don't worry.
if you look at the AFC North and put in his calculations about the Bengals, but then you got to put the same calculations about the Dolphins into the equation. Mm-hmm. I will also make the point of you got to come play through the AFC North. And that weather, that climate, those conditions, those outside venues, that snow, that brand of football, tough, physical, not everybody could play that.
You got that.
But if you're going by last year, the AFC West had three playoff teams and mm-hmm. the NFC North had three playoff teams. And the Packers, I think, maybe underachieved a little bit last year. I think more was expected after what they did 2 years ago with an insanely young roster.
I don't want to write off the Packers, Alan, and here's why. They were still able to survive with their quarterback missing three games with, Malik Wash. What was it? Willis. Yeah. They were able to survive in that time frame, I think going 2-1 or something like that.
See, I'm not going to fall for the AFC West again because you remember, I think it was like 2 years ago, everyone was like, look, the AFC West is going to be good. Mm-hmm. Look at these. And one playoff team came out of it. So I don't know if I'm going to fall for them.
But this year there was three.
See, it's like I do with the Browns. Until they prove me wrong, I'm not going to fall for it.
But, Doug, you don't want to give the coaching staffs the respect in the AFC West when you add Harbaugh and Peyton.
Another great point by TD. Damn it.
We're just collecting them today.
I done did my job today, man.
Nobody's
running away from the conversation again.
Nah, you know, they've been telling me I don't know ball for 24 hours. I'm trying to go. Hey.
He's got notes now. He's been taking notes. He's been doing homework. A little bit, but even with Harbaugh there, not knocking Herbert, he's still kind of choked in the playoffs. So it's like, we'll see. But to me, I think it's the NFC
team,
North.
Except that team was a year ahead of schedule. They weren't. Last year was supposed to be a foundation building year, and then to make a move this year, and then they made the playoffs last year. And then same with the Broncos. And again, you have Jim Harbaugh as a head coach, and Sean Payton as a head coach. Those guys are two proven commodities whose teams are going to be good a lot more often than they're not.
Yeah, I'm more impressed with Denver overcoming that Russell Wilson dead cap hit, and it didn't matter. That was impressive.
Got the quarterback you wanted, that's why.
We could also look at this from a divisional standpoint of which division has the best caliber of quarterbacks. And then you have to enter the equation the NFC North. I mean NFC East. They have the best quarterbacks in the division in football. Yeah, you don't disagree?
No, I do disagree, actually.
You disagree?
Which my, my immediate thought is like, really? Really? Dak Prescott, who's, I think, decent, not great. Jaden Daniels is was a complete stud last year. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. He's proven that. And
it's
then
the West. It's
and
the
then
West.
Russell Wilson for the Giants or Jackson Dart.
Okay, Hold name on. Me four better.
Hold on.
The AFC West. Yeah, well, they're just they're better.
You know, Smith.
Come on, Geno Smith. Are we really putting a cape on
Geno? I don't even have to put Geno in it, but other three.
Is Bo going to continue on that trajectory?
All I can do is go off what he gave me.
One year wonder. So you got to do it for more than one season for me to start believing.
So let's discredit Jaden Daniels then.
Yeah, but the Jaden, you look at the way Bo Nix played last year and Jaden Daniels, it's like completely different. Jaden was better than Bo.
All right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know. I can't. I think every division is relatively equal. And I really do believe it comes down to the caliber of quarterback play. I could argue to you that the AFC East got the best quarterbacks.
No, you can't.
Omar, really? Oh, and the same Omar who was ragging on Drake May just last week. Now
I just said he's got to take that next step. But
he threw four picks in OTAs. I know his OTAs, but still.
Okay, and then Justin Fields is still.
Wait, who threw four picks at OTAs?
Your Patriots boy over there.
Get out of here! Really?
They are not. Well, hold on. Wait. They're not doing. Is New England deep on against the defense yet?
Yeah,
four picks.
Coach, remember, new coach. They got a two-week jump start.
Wow.
Four picks in OTAs. I know it's OTAs, but still. My quarterback don't throw four picks like that.
Tony,
maybe three in December.
Tony, yes, he did. A couple of years ago.
When did Tua throw four picks in a game?
In a practice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, when it was raining, that rainy day.
I believe that was that's.
Yeah, but Flores was yelling at him. You can't concentrate.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
No, I'm sticking up for my guy. I'm sticking up for my guy. So what can I do? I can't even defend him.
No, just don't even keep his name out of
keep
your mouth.
Keep his name out of your mouth. That's what you do. He's going to treat you like Ryan Clark.
So real quick, the preseason, we kind of know when we're playing now. We got Chicago August 10th at 1 o'clock, which is weird. Normally, don't we play at like 7? But we're playing 1 o'clock
at home.
Yeah, 1 o'clock at Chicago.
On a preseason game at 1?
Yeah.
Hey, Chicago,
another 1 o'clock Saturday, the 16th.
Activities beautiful in Chicago in the summertime, right, Bupar?
Wow.
Yeah, love it.
You got Detroit on the 16th, 1 o'clock. Then home, the 23rd for Jacksonville at 7 p.m. And on top of all that, we are having joint practices with all three teams.
Is this new to me? Is this something common that I don't know about? 1 o'clock preseason games?
No, it's not common. It was always like Saturday or Thursday at 7. And now all of a sudden it's like 1 o'clock.
That Chicago, they like to, at Soldier Field, they like to tailgate. Tailgating is like a big communal thing. So they probably want their 1 o'clock tailgate. As opposed to, you're not tailgating at night, really.
That's a morning tailgate because that's actually noon Chicago time. It's 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's noon Chicago.
You make a valid point there, Pupar.
Doug, I know you're going to get to this, but as you said, they're going to have joint practices against all teams. The NFL rule is no more than four total, which means that they're going to do what they did last year, which is 2-1-1. Mm-hmm. And as I wrote on MiamiDolphinsOnTheSide.com, look at the schedule the way it is and tell me it doesn't scream. They're going to do one joint practice in Chicago, play the game on Sunday, take Monday, Tuesday off, joint practices with the Lions on Wednesday, Thursday, and play the game on Saturday.
And then one with Jacksonville?
And then one with Jacksonville. That's my very educated guess.
Especially when you factor it, that's the veteran savviness of Alan Poupard, who's been a reporter on the beat for how long, Poupard?
First year full-time covering Dolphins, 1989.
Look at all that institutional knowledge that you get there. Dude, for some reason, those things are valuable. You understand what I'm saying?
I was 2 years old in 1989.
Omar, there's a reason you made that comment. I see what you did there.
Subtle.
Listen, and if you factor in the final preseason game, it's usually just roster tryout guys. That could also hint that we're going to get two practice week sessions where you know the starters will play, they'll practice a lot, and then you'll use the game to say, okay, everybody else, y'all go ahead and take care of it. So I think the joint practices could be two you host here. But then again, you could just go from Chicago to Detroit, because what's the point of going back home?
Yeah, you're right.
You're absolutely right. Because you got the equipment packed up, you got everything packed up in the caravan, and you could just take it from Chicago to Detroit. Bam, damn, you're so smart, Poupard.
Everyone's on a roll but me.
I mentioned that when I was laying out my hypothetical scenario. So
let me repeat this. The game is on Sunday, the first.
Yes.
Then the next one's on Thursday.
Saturday.
Okay. So would they, if they did it that way, they stayed down there, would they find an alternate field to practice for the non-joint practices?
We wouldn't have a non-joint practice because they did this last year at times where they took back-to-back days off in training camp. So they play on Sunday at Chicago.
And Monday, Tuesday.
Off Monday, Tuesday, joint practice with Detroit.
Wednesday, Thursday game. Interesting.
Brilliant.
Because I was thinking of going down for training camp for the Jaguars joint practice. So,
again, by the way, this is not official. There's no.
It just makes too much sense for it not to be the way they do it.
Not to be the way it works. Because you got to pack up all that equipment. You got to move that. You got to move your headquarters. You got to, you know, everything.
When does that come out? Like the announcement for it?
When Mike talks to us.
Okay.
The media members who talks to.
The ones in the building, the ones that's allowed to talk about that stuff. Okay.
Yeah, next week we get to watch practice.
I learned that on Twitter today. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and then Mike will probably share those things with us.
Got it.
With us, yes. And then we'll
and then we'll share it with everybody else.
Make sure you ask the appropriate questions, though.
I know. I'm saying.
Yeah, we suck at asking questions. We know we can't.
We got to do better. You know, you can't ask off-color questions to you know whether a kid wants to live by in Miami Gardens or by the beach. Sorry.
Well, that does matter if you know Miami.
Then we also have some roster moves. We waived the linebacker William Bradley King and signed quarterback Brett Gabbert.
QB1.
Related to Blaine Gabbert?
Younger brother.
Is it?
Yes.
Here's something to think about. Remember back when we were ending the season, and I believe it was Barry Jackson who wrote that, Tyler Snoop-Huntley has had conversations about re-signing with Miami.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Those are cool, cute conversations. Think about, even if you need just a training camp arm, a training camp body, this guy knows your offense. You had him all season. You started him for games. You claimed he wasn't bad. And you would rather, even for a camp arm, go with a kid who's undrafted, a Gabbert, and instead of giving Tyler Snoop-Huntley a minimum camp body contract to show what he can do in year two of learning the offense.
Because he's not a quarterback suited for that scheme, if we're going to be honest. Important historical note here, just as a precedent, the Dolphins last year carried four quarterbacks into training camp from the offseason program. The fourth one was a rookie free agent by the name of Gavin Hardison. Mm. And the day after Tua got his contract extension, it was bye-bye Gavin. So they may carry for a certain amount of time. I don't know how long that's going
to
be.
And to explain TD's trolling question, which was, did the quarterback get hurt already?
I didn't say did the quarterback. I said did a quarterback get hurt.
Okay.
Boy.
I know.
I can't get it.
When you're practicing like that and you're doing 7-on-7s and you're doing all these drills, you need four arms, which is why it was quite surprising to me why they did not have four arms during OTAs and camp. Because the last thing you want to do is have somebody have a tired arm, and it happens to even the guys with the cannons. If you're throwing 100 passes at practice every single day, it kind of adds up.
Here's the one question I would have, though. Gabbert obviously impressed the Dolphins enough during the rookie minicamp where he attended on a tryout for them to give him a contract. Why did it take almost 2 weeks to do it and not after the minicamp?
Excellent point by Poupard. I definitely agree with you. They generally sign guys who impress them, but this could also just be an agent to team favor. And sometimes it often is.
No, I understand that there are favors to agents, but in this case, you're talking about.
Is he really good?
He's undrafted.
I don't know. I will tell you this. Little nugget, though. Yeah, Kersey was undrafted, but also he is second in Miami of Ohio history in career touchdown passes behind anybody?
Ben Roethlisberger?
Very good. Do we know who else played at Miami of Ohio? Actually, was Ben Roethlisberger's center.
I'm on my ball, too.
Lamar, you should know this. Look at the four of us. Come on.
Ben Roethlisberger's
center. Center at Miami of Ohio, Frank Smith.
Oh. I just think Miami, Ohio. I only think of the great Dave
Nugget. I wouldn't have knew.
Hi, there you go.
Yeah. I learned Miami, Ohio is like the private, it's like the University of Miami of the Ohio universities. It's like very, very stush, very academia. It's like the Ivy League school of the Ohio schools, which I had no idea.
I didn't know they had those, being honest with you.
So we have a smart guy coming in.
Sure.
Want another nugget on him?
Sure.
I actually dug that up from Greg Allman, covers the Buccaneers. This story dates back about 4 years. You saw that, Omar, that I retweeted his story that the Gabbard brothers, there's a third brother along with Blaine and Brett, were jet skiing off his home on an island in the Tampa area, and there was a helicopter crash into the water, and the three brothers helped rescue those folks who had crashed in the water.
Wow. You got a hero, a genius.
Yep. How about that?
Genius, right? Hero.
Perfect Wonderlic.
Does he have a perfect Wonderlic?
Do that anymore.
Oh, y'all didn't see it. Okay.
I want to ask you guys a question that is not Dolphin related. It's AFC East related. The Buffalo Bills. For one, they're going to be on Hard Knocks. Do you believe in the Hard Knocks curse? Do you hope that there's a Hard Knocks curse? Because I do.
I absolutely believe in the Hard Knocks curse. Tell me.
I did research.
What has disproved it?
I've done research.
2020 so, made the playoffs.
Not counting when they did the AFC North. 24 teams were on Hard Knocks. 8 of them made the playoffs. 0 Super Bowls. 11 losing seasons. So,
But Doug,
I'll take the odds overall.
Doug, the last AFC Championship game that did not involve the Patriots or the Chiefs was in 2010, New York Jets against the Colts, against the Steelers. Sorry, yeah. And what team was on Hard Knocks that year? The New York Jets.
Do you study this stuff, Alan?
I when I write stories,
like Rain Man.
definitely.
He's like Rain Man.
When I go down to training camp, I'm coming with a box of toothpicks. I'm just gonna dump them in front of them. He's like 247. I'm like, I knew it. Also, another Bills fact that I thought was interesting. Bills are the only team favorite in all 17 games.
That's crazy.
Kansas City's not favorite in all 17 games?
Not when they play at Buffalo.
So
I don't understand that.
Did you see the number of games?
It'll probably change.
Where the Dolphins are favored?
Probably like 3, 4.
Six.
Yeah, six? Probably. I'm surprised.
That's what I count.
Like, damn.
I'm surprised it's that high.
So the line has gone to 6.5?
What? No. They're favored right now in the opening lines in only 6 of their 17 games.
That's a good thing for us, though, because finally we'll probably win like 2 or 3 more than we're favored in. So teams will go in, well, they consider them better than us. Oh, we beat a team they consider better. So,
yeah. That's why I like Buffalo being favored in all their games. I'm like, good.
Yeah, but that Baltimore week 1, I don't even understand why.
Yeah, me neither. I would put
that's at Buffalo.
Steel. You see what they did last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat him.
Destroyed him.
What's your point, DD? Oh, no.
Destroyed them.
In the regular season at Baltimore, when they played at Buffalo in the playoffs, the Bills won. What's the issue with the Bills being favored?
I get it, but that's playoffs, you know. Different. The regular season is totally different.
Okay.
Let's get to some questions. Uncle Ron with the $5 donation says, please, can you address why Ross and Garfinkel grin like Cheshire cats no matter how badly the Dolphins fail on the field? I don't think they always. I don't think they're always smiling.
I've seen in the locker room, and there's plenty of frowns.
There's been times when you're watching on TV, they cut to Ross, and he's not a happy camper.
No, he's not.
They show him religiously. If we do it bad,
yeah, he's like
getting there.
And then they cut to Marino in New York. His glasses down by his nose, just like.
Hey, but when we win in Ross,
doing the waddle.
Ross be up there dancing, man.
I say this all the time, and I don't. I've been blessed and fortunate to have access to Steve Ross. And I remember putting this in context. One time he bought the Biltmore Hotel, and that's an iconic historic hotel in South Florida. It's probably the biggest hotel and living space. I don't know what it went for, but we're talking millions and millions of dollars. And that was the year Jarvis Landry was the sensational rookie in camp. It was the first day of camp. And I go up to Steve Ross because my newspaper needs to know what are his plans and his visions for the Biltmore Hotel, this establishment that he's paid $68 million for. I'm just throwing out a number on, okay? He goes, man, that Jarvis Landry, he's going to be good for us, huh? And I was just like, cool, that's great. You know, Steve, my newspaper wants to know what are the plans for the Biltmore Hotel. And he goes, that was a distressed sale. They offered it to me. I said, why not?
man. So you mean to tell me that's the question you ask?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
and proving once again that the beat writers ask bad questions.
Yes. But this was the time when we had Ross Power round tables. I missed those, by the way.
Every day on the first day of training camp, we do
on the first day of training camp. But the point I'm making is he's very passionate about this. He's succeeded in every area of his life, except maybe marriages, which I'm not sure men have much control of, and owning the Miami Dolphins organization. And man, I think he would sell you his soul to win a championship.
I always defend Stephen Ross. Like a lot of people like, until we sell the team. I'm like, when you have a general manager that will spare no expense, open that checkbook just for the sake of winning, and he may not know all there is in the world about the X's and the O's, but he's doing all he can to put the people around that does. That's all you can ask for is a guy who doesn't mind opening his checkbook. What more do you want in an owner? Like, that's what you want, a supportive one. You know, that will say, hey, if you believe this is what it'll take, sign me up for it. Where do I sign? And I've always defended him in that regard. I think that this is an advisory type situation where, hey, he hiring people to make the best decisions, the experts. And I just think that may need to be reevaluated, though.
Yeah. Sanchez with a fiver says, TD really answered Buffalo to which division has the best number two. I think what he's saying is when Omar asked who's the best number two, you said Buffalo, but I think
no, don't think for me. I was on point. let me say this. I know people gonna think TD with this the stupid crazy stuff again. Listen to me. The only reason I truly believe Buffalo has been dominant over the last 5 years in the league is because the rest of the AFC East have cut them the biggest breaks. We have not held up our end of the bargain. If the Jets can get a win, the Dolphins can get a win, the Patriots can get a win, they would have missed the playoffs two of them years. It's us. We need to be better. We're making life easy for them. We're giving them 5-1 every year.
I think they earn it.
We're giving them 5-1 every year. If it was 3-3, they would have missed the playoffs a few of those years.
TD, and before that, it was the Patriots. What does the and KC is on the AFC West, and Baltimore is always at the top. What are the common denominators? They all have generational quarterbacks: Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes.
These will be first ballot Hall of Famers.
Correct.
Like, what do you do when you know? I'm impressed with what Buffalo was able to do because last year was a rebuilding year, and they were like, Josh Allen was like, here. Everybody, you suck, but I'm going to carry you where you need to go. And I'm like, damn, this is how y'all act in a rebuilding year? You really have a good front office, good coaching staff. And remember that coup that they tried to run on the head coach one year where they outed all his business and you know, and that was like an assassination attempt that missed. Mm-hmm. And he survived and he's thriving.
Same thing happened in Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you say a first ballot Hall of Famers.
Who's not a first ballot Hall of Famer?
No, who did you name?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
So, but what was your point of bringing that up, though?
Because my point is teams that have that kind of quarterback will dominate the division for a long period of time, just like the Patriots did.
That's why we not dominated. I get it. Okay, that's why we not dominated. Okay.
He baited you. He baited you right into it. Okay. Mezzo Boys, new member, welcome. We also, Will William with the Fiverr says, I can already hear TD's voice from the future, Tua for MVP.
Hey, yeah. If he balling out, like, people don't realize. You remember when Tua had the little four-game MVP stretch?
Mm-hmm.
I was going crazy. Tua for MVP. See, this is who I am. I go with what he gives me. Okay? Weeks later when he ain't on the field or on the field sticking it up, I'm seeing what he doing. Like, people get mad at me. I call it how it is. I was singing his praises. Baltimore game when we came back from all them touchdowns, he the best player in the league to me. And that's what I do. So don't get mad at me for just giving y'all the energy he give us.
If you want to watch TD, it's one of my favorite things to watch. Watch the end of the Ravens game and then his post game after. He has no voice. And he's like, you give that man respect for the next week. You give that man respect. Like, he was like,
then we reset it all over again and we disrespect him on Sunday.
He threw three picks. So, I mean, come on. I'm just giving what he can. Hey, listen, I'm fair. People just don't like it. It is what it is.
Lewis with the Fiverr says, Omar and Poop, have you ever covered a locker room physical fight between teammates and who you consider to be the James Jones of the NFL?
James Johnson.
Who's
James Jones?
He's a boxer.
Oh,
James Johnson, though. It says yeah. James Johnson.
Oh, I think he's talking about UFC.
Bones Jones.
There was a Heat player who was like a Taekwondo killer.
Oh, really?
Okay. I forget what his name. I think it's James Johnson. I think it might be James Johnson.
Okay. There you go. To answer your question, no, I've never. I don't know if you're asking if we ever saw.
We've seen some altercations, but those are mostly with media members.
Correct, and they're not necessarily throwdowns. They're like kind of like tongue lashing.
Media members getting into it.
Yelling.
Wait, between media members or between
No. Yeah, that too.
Omar and I go at it all the time.
That too. But no.
Like a Ryan Leaf situation.
Who was it that Brian Cox in the media like went after?
Gene Atkins bowled over Jason Cole in the locker room at one point.
Yeah.
So there was like a Ryan Leaf situation where like a player
the screaming that I've never heard of I've never been witnessed a scream fest like that. The Ryan Leaf, the famous.
Yeah.
No.
I felt bad for him. He was put on that pedestal. Phil Jones, new member. Welcome, Phil. Brian Daughtry with the $20 donation. Doherty. Great show, guys. All the continued success. Just want to say all the heat coming from these Twitter streets. I respect DDW, Alan, Omar, and Coco.
Who started that message?
Put it up again.
Super chat on Tuesday.
That was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
I could see you being a wrestler, TD. I could see you.
Hey, let's stop living in the past, man.
Oh man.
Would he be a good guy or would he be an heel? Would you be a good guy or would you be an heel? TD, that's a trick.
Oh, come on. Come on.
All day, every day. Seriously? TD's a heel.
What role does he play now in this world?
TD, do you watch wrestling?
A little bit, but
do you know what a face and a heel is?
No, not at all.
So a face is like a good guy, and then a heel is like a bad guy. So like, they think
I would be the mediator.
You'd be a heel.
You know, I would be the mediator. Yeah. You know, I'm a fair guy.
If you think TD would be the heel,
yeah, Comment, leave a comment in the chat. Is he a heel or is he a face? Because I already see two heels in there. You're 100%
a heel. Okay, I'll be the heel that joins the face on occasions when the situation's right.
I see that. Like Stone Cold. I could see that.
You didn't want to address Mike's question? We're either going to punt on it or we're going to address it. We shouldn't ignore Mike because Mike's
already. What's my question? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, the Civil War? Wait, yeah. Hold on. Where'd it go? I'm losing it.
Right there. Okay.
Okay. I'm curious your take since someone did a whole show on it. Love the show, by the way.
I'll go first, Omar, because I think I get the feeling I'll probably be a lot shorter than you will. There was really no need for it. Seriously. You don't like us. You don't like what we do. Good for you to really call out not just me and Omar and other media members.
Chris Perkins. Who has a problem with Chris Perkins?
I mean, really? Seriously?
Who named somebody? We always say this in the media. If you have a problem with Chris Perkins, that means something is wrong with you, not Chris.
No, but it wasn't Perkins. It was his issues. Like, he was like suggesting that Perk doesn't know ball. It's like, come on. Like, seriously? Absolutely no need. There was no need for it. It's pretty weak. I'm sorry. I don't like all the podcasts that are out there. But you're not going to hear me calling out specific names like that. That's no need for it. Okay, Omar, your turn. If you want to go there.
I've been going there all day. Why would I stop now?
Delete the tweet.
Delete what tweet? Here's my thing. I am... You all know me. I'm an aggressive person by nature. I am speaking up primarily for the people who will not speak up, who were hurt and bothered by those comments, those accusations, those allegations, the Joe Shads of the world, the Chris Perkins of the world, the people who will not even dignify it with a response. Okay, props to you because you guys are better than me. You're not going to say my name. And there's not going to be consequences. And Poupard is another one who did not say anything, did not speak up. We work very hard in this media contingency. We've worked very hard to keep everything inside it cordial. We support one another, whether it be Poupard or whether it be retweeting each other's stories. While we might not agree with everybody's line of questioning, or we might not agree with everybody's approach, that doesn't mean that that's not right for them, or that they're not setting something up for the future, or that they're not swinging for the fence, hoping something interesting comes out. Now, for the people who watch what we do and eat off what we do, I would appreciate a thank you. Not this criticism, because half the time, we're the only way you have access to anything. Mm-hmm. So, and while some of you might have family members and friends and wives, girlfriends, and an uncle that might feed you some information or nugget that their son or their nephew have given them about your team that you love, we can go directly to the people and the players. Like, let's just have a little bit more class about it.
To lighten it up, my wife just texted me. And she said, we are watching you guys. And my daughter keeps waving and saying, hi, Dad. And then she says, hi, family, to you guys. So she thinks you guys are the family.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that deserves one of this. Absolutely.
There you go. But a little bright spot.
Except it's not doing it. Oh, come on, man.
You lost your privileges.
How much I suck.
Yeah, yeah. This is St. Eddie. You all have no idea how important this guy is in the world, the real world. And I'm not going to tell you, but let's just say we're talking a power player in the world. Eddie, I respect you. He used to run the streets of Miami. Now he runs the streets of the United States.
Ooh. He says, here to support my guys with a big $10 donation. Omar and Alan, love what you do, DDW. I appreciate that. TD, stop trolling so much.
Hey, Omar say he running the world. I'll listen to what you got to say, brother.
We got a gifted sub to Shane Ladner. Shout out to T for gifting that sub. Sanchez with another $10 donation. Coco Beware microwaving, thinking he's cooking. Leave TD alone.
All right, man. I'm so used to it now.
Uncle Ron with the fiver says, please tell me how Ross can be a great owner when he is happy to give the utter failure Greer and zero playoff wins is a failure, a job for life.
That's not true. That's not fair. He's not employed for life. They don't have success. I doubt he's going to be running an organization. He might still have a job because he has a contract. Mm-hmm. Probably can fulfill some other role in the organization. But Ross said, quote unquote, status quo. What was the quote? Quote, status quo.
Will not be accepted or not good enough.
We know what status quo is. It's been what we've done for the last decade. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out right now. You know,
I'll say this because when I was, and if you guys didn't watch my video today, I shouted you guys out because I read off your articles because obviously I wasn't there. I noticed that the coaches were talking a lot, especially Prince was talking about, like, if you do a good job, I'm going to praise you. And if you do a bad job, you're going to get it. Do you think they're shifting? That's the culture shift they're going to do? Or do you think it's still going to be the same thing?
You mean privately or publicly? Because publicly, it's all going to be kumbaya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like privately, do you think
we rarely have coaches that will honestly criticize people? Last year, there was a couple.
Two years ago, my man Vic
brought that sledgehammer wherever he went. There was no sugarcoating with Vic. I love Vance Joseph because of that. Vance Joseph was probably the first person that called my best friend Jordan Phillips lazy.
not the new Jordan.
Yeah,
the one from 5-10 years ago.
Thanks for clarifying.
That's an important clarification.
John
and that's the first thing that I looked into. Jordan Phillips, he's a hard worker. He has a reputation as a hard worker. So
starting off on a good foot.
He's going to clear up that Jordan Phillips name.
Omar, if old Jordan Phillips had new Jordan Phillips' work ethic, he'd be headed to the Hall of Fame.
You're correct. You're absolutely correct. And if new Jordan Phillips has old Jordan Phillips' career, I will tell you he'll be a phenomenal success in the NFL.
Let's hope.
A fifth round pick.
Oh yeah.
Q Ali with the $2 donation. Does Tua top 10 plus a top 10 defense equal 10 wins?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sorry. Tua top 10
plus a top 10 defense. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because there were some games that the defense let us down. Now, obviously, the offense could have gotten a little bit better, but. At the end of the day, you know, you make a stop and we win the game. So, yeah.
But if both are playing top 10, though, we get 10.
Mm-hmm.
One thing Anthony Weaver said that was very telling to me, and then this is something I had written about also, is we can hyper-focus on the defense being ranked in the top 10 all we want. That's fabulous and great and all that. How about getting some takeaways?
He said, imagine if we had some takeaways.
It helps the offense.
Yeah, he said something like less possessions,
mm-hmm.
but more possessions for the offense. Like,
go back to 2020, I think it was, when the Dolphins defense was ranked like 18th or 19th or whatever. They led the league in takeaways, which kind of helped the Dolphins go 10-6 that year.
Like a top five impact.
Yeah.
Big time.
Gives you another chance on offense. Yeah, 100%. William with another big donation. This is a challenge to TD. If Miami goes to the playoffs this year, he has to stream in a Coco Beware wrestling outfit the whole stream.
Hey, you need to send more than $10 for that kind of thing. Come on, William. Hey, I saw what he was wearing. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Hey, if it gets us a win, would you do it? Like, guaranteed. You wear this, we are winning this playoff game. Would you do it?
I would do it for Quinn Ewers. I would.
Hey, Halloween costumes. Halloween. I don't know what. Halloween costumes. I'm big on Halloween costumes. So you know who you need.
Do it before he enters the ring when he has the robe, so you don't have to do that.
There you go.
Wear the robe. I could do that.
James Jim with the fiber.
Oh my gosh.
Omar needs TD to be his accountability partner in life. Chili's over Tootsie's.
I can't save Omar. I promise. Hey,
listen, you know, I don't think I've eaten at Chili's. It's on my to-do list.
It's good. But I like Chili's. It's one of my favorites.
I just don't know what to order on, you know, at Chili's, but you know, it's all good.
Shadow Fates with a gifted sub. Shout out to you. Sanchez, 82 likes is injustice.
It really is.
I think we are currently up to 266, but we have 500 in here. So
listen, people, understand that the likes help the algorithm and help us announce ourselves to more people. So likes are important. When you watch a video, click the like. What happened? Okay.
Look at the chat from Karan.
I'm sorry, that's funny.
He said y'all, TD would concuss to her with a chair shot. Definitely a bad guy.
I care about Tua and his safety.
Omar's 100% right. You hit the like button and puts it out there. More people see it. More people come and hang out.
I want to have enough likes so that when my TV turns on, it shows me the Dolphins Collective along the other things that I watch. And I'm like, I have no idea what puts you there. What do you need to get there? Which is why I have always come to Dougley and even Reason for explanation and guidance on how the YouTube algorithm works. People don't know that I used to think me and Reason were friends. Like, I don't know what happened.
I'm gonna talk to our boss, as we like to call him, because we got to tag this video better. I'll help it. Don't you worry. I got us. Phil Jones with the 20. Jeez Louise. I'm a patron of Doug, fan of all. Thanks for being Patreon. I appreciate that. Question. Backup quarterback last year was a big issue. I would say a huge issue. People are talking like it's Ewers' job to take Zach Wilson. Was drafted too high, but I think he is better than Ewers. Your thoughts? When he came out that draft year, I remember doing a prospect on him, and I thought he was going to struggle because he had like the best. I think at the time he had the best offensive line in college football when he was playing. And I said, he's going to come in the NFL. He's going to play behind an offensive line that's not going to be that good. He's going to struggle. And it seems like that's kind of what happened. Started messing with him mentally. But Mike McDaniel is very good at kind of pinpointing what you're good at and then just do this. Focus on this. We'll get everything else. So if you can do that to Zach Wilson, he has the intangibles. He just needs to get it out of him.
You know what I think about these quarterbacks? When you put them in the microwave early and they're not ready to play, and then you stick them out there and the game's moving too fast for them, why do you expect it to taste good? Not everybody. And then they have this broken stigma about them. And I think it takes some time to help him reclaim his career, help him gain some comfort. I like the fact that he knows a little bit about this offense that he's playing in. Obviously, he doesn't know the terminology. It's going to take time. But let's not rush him. Obviously, he's a backup. So let's just hope when he's ready, they have an understanding of what he could do, how he could execute, and put him out there with weaponry that can help him. And I definitely think that that's going to be a shot. He's going to have a shot.
And to me, the concern with him would be, has he solved the issue of rushing things in the pocket or freezing in the pocket? It's like he looked, this is the analogy I would make. He looked in a lot of games when I saw him with the Jets, the way Skylar Thompson looked at Seattle, where he was over his skis, the game was too fast for him. And yes, that's when I saw Zach Wilson. If you remember that game, maybe not be fair because, again, how bad the offensive line, how much the Dolphins' defensive line dominated. But his last game, regular season action in the NFL is against the Dolphins, that 30-0 game where he got knocked out in the first half. And he looked like a deer in headlights, even though he was getting no help from his offensive line. But it looked like he was freezing.
They wanted to confuse him and change things up. I remember the game plan was like show him something and then change it, and he'll be stuck. And that's exactly what they did. Now the question is, has he overcome that now?
Well, he worked with Sean Payton, so hopefully he got, you know, he evolved them a little bit. Going into that Seattle game too, I felt very nervous because, you know, good quarterbacks struggle in Seattle, and then you got, not saying Skylar Thompson isn't good, but, you know, you got these quarterbacks who, you know, are starters struggle in Seattle. You're gonna put Skylar Thompson out there with the noise and the atmosphere and everything. Well, I have a good feeling about that.
Well, the backup situation scares me and excites me at the same time. So the excitement is the fact that Zach Wilson, former first rounder, if anybody could get anything out of him, it might be Mike McDaniel, like Doug alluded to. And you never know, right?
Darryl, don't forget Darryl Bevell.
Which is true, too.
Yes.
But then you have Quinn Ewers, young guy. Same thing I want to qualify. You know, you never know what these guys can get out of him. But what scares me is if the situation arises where they get the opportunity because of an injury, are they going to be playing to their strong suits or are they going to be running the offense that the team is used to under Tua? So that's where I'm. You said somebody was raw dogging it out there. I don't want that.
I don't think that's fair, TD, from this standpoint. When Skyler took over, Skyler was the number three quarterback. He had been there, what, 2 weeks? And
what are you talking about, 2022 now?
Not Skyler. No. Both situations. Not Skyler. Tyler Stu Huntley. And what are you going to do? Change your – and that's the thing. They eventually had to change their entire offense and dummy it down, which made them tremendously easy to play. They are a complicated offense where their motion gives them challenges. Their motion gives them tells. You can't do any of that. They're stuck. So – I don't think that's fair. Yes, this is a very complicated offense that probably only Tua can run. But what do you want him to do? Just dumb it down for people and be simple for a defense to play?
Only quarterback in the world who can run this offense. Sure.
On the team.
Well, again, the backups last year were Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle, and Tyler Huntley. And as I put on Twitter, all of those guys are third-string quarterbacks, if that much. So can
– a second-string guy.
See, but here's the thing, though. And, you know, you guys get on Omar for saying that. Omar's not the only one who says that. Darren Orlowski said the same thing, and I think even Kurt Warner came out and said the same thing, listing the quarterbacks that can run the system the Dolphins run.
Here's the thing. They've tailored everything to what Tua does best, which makes perfect sense, and it's zillions and zillions and zillions of reps in practice where he works, got the timing down with his wide receivers. Well, if you have somebody else who has a certain amount of time to work with the receivers and you tweak it to his abilities – I mean, that exact system tailored to Tua is tailored to Tua. If you have somebody else who's going to be there for a few weeks, you tailor it to him. And then, are we going to say he's the only one who can run it? I think it's a little hyperbolic for my taste. And the other point I want to make quickly is Quinn Ewers played in a similar system at Texas than where the Dolphins run. So it shouldn't be having to redo everything.
Hey, listen, about Quinn Ewers. What'd that guy make? $8 million in college football?
Yeah, he's taking a pay cut.
Throughout his career, obviously a lot of people thought he was very good because they gave him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's probably the highest grossing quarterback in college football history. Like, so listen, he should be good. I can't rule out what he can do.
But then why was he picked in the seventh round? I would tell you this. I would think the ceiling for both Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers is much, much, much higher than Skylar Thompson and Mike White.
At this time. 100%.
But there's nothing proven.
Ohio John with the Fiverr says, can anybody get into specifics on what Butch Berry wants Patrick Paul to improve on to take his game to the next level this season? That's more for you two.
We were both there listening to it. I don't think he gave any specifics, but they really pride themselves on being athletic, getting downfield on blocking. Patrick Paul is going to have to. I don't even think he can do what Teron Armstead did, because what people don't understand is Teron took the left side and you rolled your protection everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You never worried about the left side. If it was a blitzer, you were in trouble. But then when you had Tua, he saw the blitzer, he got it out of his hand usually. Mm. Now you can't roll protection anywhere. Now it's
every man for themselves.
Yeah. Right. Now it's every man for themselves, and we'll see.
I will say this: as Omar mentioned, it was Omar and I talking to Butch Berry when he first came out on Wednesday. And
what was the reason?
I missed that one.
Go ahead, repeat it, Omar. I said,
what was the reason?
Exactly. and we asked a couple of questions about Patrick Paul, where he had every opportunity to sing his
praises. I hope our questions were good, Poupard.
Thank you. Yes, they were all good. But we gave him opportunities if he wanted to, like, sing his praises about what he does very well and how excited he is for him to take over. And he didn't go there. And you asked him, like, the benefit of having a lot of reps last year in practice, and he was like, well, he's got a lot of reps in practice. And I was like,
oh. Yeah, but Butch is always a very constrained guy.
He wasn't constrained when I asked about Liam Eichenberg. No.
That's because his boy been under attack, man. Listen, he got defensive about him, and he called him what, Poupar?
The glue. And by the way, I prefaced my question by saying, you know, a lot of fans are curious about this, and what was it that made you guys want to re-sign Liam? And that's what he said.
It's not even that good glue. It's not even like Elmer's glue. It's that like glitter, clear blue glue. That's more glue.
Listen. Okay. To be fair, I remember the end of the 2023 season. It was a final day in the locker room, and literally every player was going up to Liam Eichenberg because I don't know what he had, whether it was the fine money or huh?
I think he had a calf injury and he played through the
– No. I'm talking about why every player was going up to him, like giving him money or getting money. Liam was doing something really secretive. They say he's the most frugal man on the team, and they had put him in charge of something, so everybody had to check in with him. That doesn't happen to Joe Schmo. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? That doesn't happen to Joe Schmo. That doesn't happen to William Kingsley Jr. or whoever. Now,
wow, the guy got cut, and you're taking shots at him. Damn, is that what you're doing?
He doesn't have to talk to him in the locker room, so why?
I mean, kicking him on his way out the door. Sorry, I'm gonna continue.
So, in fairness to Liam, while he has struggled at every single position that he's played for Miami,
I didn't say you said it.
There's always some circumstances that have contributed to the struggle, whether it's the calf injury, whether it's he had a shoulder injury last year. Liam was playing all right for the beginning, early portion of the season. Then he suffered a shoulder injury that he played through, and then it went. Then he lost Austin Jackson, and then it went.
Mm-hmm.
Is Liam an NFL player? He is. Is he an NFL starter? Probably not. There's no shame in that.
Can I chime in here? I mean, the Dolphins did Liam Eichenberg wrong last year. I've said this before on my podcast, and I'm going to make my point out here. Is, again, I want to know exactly what the purpose was. If you remember this, Omar, Liam is penciled in basically as their starting guard, right guard. I think it was the left guard, right guard, one of the two. And then Aaron Brewer sustains the finger injury. And instead of throwing somebody else in there and leaving Eichenberg at his guard spot to where he can hone his technique and all that, they move Eichenberg to center to get the work in with the first team.
You got to have decent snaps. You know, like, okay, what are we doing? We're going to go Aaron Myers.
Andrew, the guy is your starting guard. Leave him at guard.
But Tua needs decent snaps. And at some point, you know you're going to have to get Liam that work. And you know you're going to have to get him ready. I disagree with you, Poupard. That was the time to do it. Yes. I mean, Liam has started, good God, a bazillion games. If he's not ready by like that point and had 2 weeks to get ready for training camp when Brewer came back,
except he's gotten jumped from position to position. And the idea is if you're moving Liam to center because Brewer's out in training camp, that basically saying that your plan is Liam's your starting guard, but he's also your first backup center. Does that make a lot of sense?
Yeah, that's what he was. Really? That's what he should be.
Should that have been the issue? The better idea, get yourself a first interior offensive line center or guard backup, and then Liam is your starting guard.
Dude, they're talking about Liam.
I've blacked out for the past 2 weeks. Let's get to these donations. $10 gifts, a membership from Sanchez to Barrett Dolphins, Fish Pilot, Jay Livdo, Dole, Ray Vargas, Sharp Instinct, Dolphin State of Mind, Matt Farms, Skunk Ape. It's like a ska punk.
A lot of memberships.
Brady Bashar. I think that's it. Yeah. Michael with the fiver says, "Not TD, keep being you. You've been making me laugh these past couple days. Pacers at 5. That was a choke. I don't even watch basketball, but that was a choke.
By the way, this absolutely insane stat. What was it? It was like
6 threes in a row.
4,000 was the record of teams leading by 8 inside a minute until last night.
I thought the Pacers were going to lose when he did this. I was like, he just jinxed themselves. Nope. They came out and they won it. Pacers. Mike Best with the 20 says, "Thanks for answering my question. Omar is so real. Been following him since 2010. Love it. In my opinion, there's no better mind in the media than Poop. Man knows his stuff. TD and Doug, you guys are the most entertaining." We don't know garbage, TD. We're just entertaining.
Can I say something, Doug?
Go ahead.
Mike, are you saying that Omar and I are not entertaining? Is that what you're saying?
Mike, come on. What are you doing here, Mike?
No, in all seriousness, all trolling aside, I did want to say something about everything that's been going on lately. No, in all seriousness, at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, us four gentlemen were blessed to get together to provide great content in the Miami Dolphins community. Hmm. We all have our own opinions. We all differ. We all agree on some things. We all differ for some things. But one thing that's unique about this show is that we all represent a specific part of the fan base. To those who feel this way like TD and those who don't hate TD. I mean, so when I'm online and I'm seeing all the hate for my counterparts that's up here right now, it goes on blind ears because this is not for me. This is not for you individually. This is for the Miami Dolphins community. Mm-hmm. You have somebody here. I feel very confident that you have somebody here representing your views and how you feel. And sometimes that may change per person. And that's the beautiful thing about what we have going on here. So at the end of the day, anybody out there that don't like it, who's jealous of it, hey, don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the people who are blessed with this opportunity. At the end of the day, we're just delivering for the people. Continue to put your hard work in, and I'm sure there's going to be things that everybody out there that has a platform have an opportunity to shine on. And so, and all y'all people who are, "Oh, I can't stand TD on the show" and stuff like that, hey, I'm just going to be me. All y'all who say the same thing about Omar, he's just going to be him. Same thing with Allen. I can't listen to nothing with Allen. He's going to be him, and Doug's going to do the same. We're not here to appease everybody because what we all have learned and what we do is that is impossible. So allow us to do what we do. If you rock with it, rock with it. If you don't, hey, we hope one day you do. And outside of that, man, y'all keep supporting what we're doing because at least you have a group of people who can get along, have good dialogue, and you can see this long-term growing bigger and better. And for those who are hating on it, that's their business. It's none of ours. And that's how I feel about it, and that's all I'll say about it. Stop linking me to people. Stop linking me to a certain thing. I don't mess with nobody. I don't beef with nobody. At the end of the day, I say how I feel, what I feel. And I keep it moving. If you disagree, we can have a dialogue. But if you don't know how to have a respectful dialogue, you ain't for me. I don't engage with you, okay? And I'm going to be transparent for a second. I remember when I first met, start looking at Omar on Twitter. "Oh, this Omar Kelly guy, man, what is he talking about? You know, I'm doing my thing, you know?" But I also, I didn't know who Omar was. I didn't know his true position until I spoke to him personally. Same thing with Omar. I think he can contest. Oh, this TD guy, he had a lot of perceptions of me.
Absolutely. A lot of it was fed by, anyway.
Yeah. Leave it alone.
I'm gonna leave it alone.
A lot of you have a perception of me based off of what other people had to say. Now, if you're on Twitter, I understand your perception. That's where I troll. I understand that. I intentionally tick people off on Twitter. But we all do a great job. Y'all know Doug doing his thing, leading the way in the YouTube community. Absolutely. Just, I mean, doing what, like, the most consistent, keep his head down, grinding, working. These guys out there on their columns and on the beat doing their thing, working hard to deliver, might I add, deliver content for us content creators to regurgitate in our opinions of. Don't forget that either. When Omar write an article, Alan write an article, I'm reading it. Oh, because they're there. I'm reading what they're saying, and I'm going live talking to my people and breaking it down, giving my opinion on the matter. That's a lot of what we do. So without these guys, we wouldn't have half the content we have. And on top of that, that don't mean we can't disagree with them. That don't mean we can't, but look how we have the dialogue on this channel. It's respectful. And last thing, for all y'all haters keep talking about I'm a fan of 10 different teams, stop listening to my haters, okay? Who wanted to alienate me from the fan base to say that. I am a businessman, okay? I am trying to think bigger picture. I am a co-founder of Roundtable Sports. When I created all of those channels, I was looking for labor time. How much would it cost for me to hire somebody? So I made all those channels, okay? I've been a Dolphin fan for 40 years. I didn't understand the game until I was 15. So the Marino era, right when his last year or two, that's when I was really ingratiated into the game of watching the Miami Dolphins in football. And since then, we've been pretty bad. And that's what I have in my soul, that bad taste of the last 25 years. And I'm a fan, and that's what I deliver on my platform. But for me and all these fellas, we love y'all. All y'all members supporting us, thank y'all so much. Because the bigger we get, there's going to be bigger hate that comes. But we got to understand that too, okay? But we're going to keep delivering for y'all. Thank y'all.
Amen.
Let's but it's still through. Two. It's two of four. All of
it's two of four. Super Fishpot with the 10. You guys need to have a Tua show and get it over with. It's been done to death, but it's still entertaining as hell. And it's May. That is true. Sanchez with the tenor says, T, it's all love. I give you smoke because it's funny, but I love this for y'all. Our great personality.
I'm not personality. Gonna
stop calling the police on TD now. I'm not calling
the police for you. Jim with the $20 donation said, please bring Pete's take on your panel. Hard pass on that one.
Ryan. I don't even know who that is.
Same here. Who's Pete's take?
Legend, y'all.
Yeah. We just. Ryan Mazzarella with the $2 donation. Those teams don't have Hall of Fame coaches/front offices.
What teams are you talking about?
You don't have no idea how far behind we are in these super chats. William with the 20. I got you to announce it. Coco Beware is coming in October 30th for the Ravens game.
Hold on. Is that Halloween at the Ravens game? Night.
Yeah, and the next day would be Halloween.
Okay. If Tua beat the Ravens, I'll do it.
There you go.
Oh, snap.
He already beat the Ravens on Thursday night.
This is a new year, Doug.
Phil Jones with the tenor. Zach Wilson is a victim of the Jets curse. I've always said the Jets are where a career goes to die. I agree with that. True. Look at Darnold and Geno. William, another tenor, says, oh, my God. All right, I'll try, man. I'll try.
Go ahead. What are you going to do when Coco Beware comes after you, brother?
We should all be wrestlers.
Why can't I be the best wrestler of all time?
Who's the best wrestler of all time?
You know who the best is. Stone Cold Steve Austin, baby.
All right, I agree.
Let's go.
So we'll be a battle with the Fiverr, TD, and Poop. If Tua wins the division and playoff game, will you put him in front of Herbert? Also, take it easy on TD.
If he's the one.
If he's the reason. Herbert can't go do the same thing.
Okay.
And maybe even further.
We'll revisit. My opinion is always evolving. I'm not like.
Yeah.
Can Tua improve Poupard?
Can he improve? I think
the answer is no.
He can be more consistent, but I think we've seen his game. It's been 5 years. We've seen what he is as a quarterback. And again, he's a good quarterback. Is he great? No, I don't think he's a great quarterback.
See, that's going to be our next episode. We're going to address, can Tua improve?
I don't know if I'm going to make it through that one, man.
Noel B1 with the Fiverr was going to kick the crap out of TD today, but after reading his Twitter timeline, I just can't do it. Tomorrow's another day.
Noel's funny. Noel's funny.
Brad Boss with the tenor says this is a great crew and the numbers reflect that. Side note, tell the haters the bags under his eyes.
Tell that hater.
I don't know who y'all talking about.
I'm sure there's more than one.
Marcus Fraser with the Fiverr says, been with TD and Omar from day one. Y'all have a good thing going with Poop and Doug. Keep it up. This is must-see TV. Hopefully I'm not on TV. I am an ugly man. Anyway, Every Noodle with the $5 donation says, if Tua beats the Ravens and Bills, will TD and Poop get a group selfie and an Oos jersey?
Isn't it crazy how we have to limit if he beats this team or that team versus just be great?
I think it's because that is the expectation, or that is the qualifier that a lot of people put on him. He can't beat winning teams.
But Doug, Tua go out and play phenomenal versus Baltimore, play phenomenal versus the Bills this year, lose 11 games, and then we're supposed to be like, but he beat those two.
I don't know. Hey, it's not me saying it. But we're going to get out of here. You kept us over. We're an hour and 10 in. But hey, this is entertaining. How many likes? 414 likes. We're almost at 500. Go check out Omar Kelly at the Miami Herald. Does some great columns that I do read for you guys with my dyslexia and butcher it. You can also check Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins SI. He also has the All Dolphin podcast, TD Fins Talk. Go check him out. AFC, not on Twitter. Don't check him out on Twitter. If you don't want to get angry,
I'm about to make that my home now.
AFC East Roundtable and AFC Sports. You also probably see me on the AFC East Roundtable. I make an appearance here and there. And you can check me, youtube.com/DougLeeDoWrong, and on Twitter. I don't troll on Twitter, but I do like to poke the fun at people. We will see you guys on Tuesday, and we are out.